for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, April the 1st, 1988. Passover weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris of Beckville, Texas, is the speaker of the morning.
If they are not so, they are like chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinner in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God. I, the Lord, have a message for thee, saith God, this day. Ye hear me, my people, and gather close around me. Yea, with your spirit, that is, saith the Lord, I shall cause thee to receive a new anointing. Yea, I shall drop in the midst of thee the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, and the spirit of understanding this day, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, and if thou wilt reverently seek my face, yea, and lend an attentive ear, you shall not leave this place like you have come, saith the Lord. Yea, for know now that it is time, it is even high time, yea, that my people learn of me. Yea, it is high time that you explore my word by the Spirit and seek out my plan, saith the Lord, thou God. For I tell you of a truth that my plan will not change. Yea, it will not change in this eon or the eons to come. Yea, for the Lord thou God has a plan for you. Yea, and a plan for all. I plan, saith the Lord, to bring a people to the front of my great masses of army, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, I plan to bring forth the people and deliver them from the realm of death, yea, into life. This, my people, is called resurrection. Hallelujah. Yea, and I say unto you that even now you may receive a little bit of resurrection life if you will reach out to the Almighty. Yea, if I have not brought thee together, yea, just to be a time of folly, yea, but I have brought thee to a serious hour, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, when the scene is being set for the greatest move of God that has ever graced the earth, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, for know that not many days hence, yea, not a long time off, there will be an unveiling of the blessed sons of God. Yea, and the battle array will change. Yea, the battle cry will be exuberant, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, for I shall have a people walking up and down in the earth that has received already immunity to every wrath and every disease and every plague. Yea, that can come upon this world, saith the Lord thou God. I shall give them ministry that is ministry unknown. Yea, for I shall duplicate the only begotten of the Father. Yea, he who is the firstborn son, I shall duplicate his ministry many times over, saith the Lord thou God. Have you not read in the Scriptures about the things that he did and heard him say, why would you marvel at these things? For these things shall you do also, and greater things shall you do, because I go to the Father. I tell you of a truth that that he made the return trip and has bestowed on us the gift of the Holy Ghost with power, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and now, even now, thou must arise in the power of the might of the Holy Spirit of the Almighty. Yes. Yea, that thou may do exploits. For know that there is much terrain to be claimed yet, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, there is much in the Spirit to be explored. Only stir up your pure mind of remembrance. I challenge you, saith the Lord. Yea, to stir up the gift that is within you. Yea, thou hast the gift of prophecy. You do well, saith the Lord. Now, if you will turn that gift into a ministry, you will do even better, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, do you have the gift of healing? You do well, saith the Lord. And now if you will turn that gift into a ministry, you will do even better, saith the Lord. Yea, and when thou hast learned this principle and has evoked this principle, I tell you of a truth that you will not be far from the kingdom of God, saith the Lord. Yea, I know that the kingdom is within you, waiting to be released. Yea, therefore you will receive a word of counsel, a word of wisdom, yea, a word of understanding that will evoke a releasing within you. Yea, and the life of God shall flow out, yea, to bring life to many, saith the Lord. Yea, for I know that you shall not be defeated, but you shall be victorious, for the Lord thou God is the one that has called you into this walk, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God forever.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
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 Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
I take it that what we have to do is to break out of this realm into the resurrection realm. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's take a scripture here in Romans chapter 7, and then we'll begin to enlarge on some thought here. And hallelujah. I guess the title to this message is "Don't Let the Death Realm Hold You." Now if we all right, if we and it will unfold itself as I unfold it by the Spirit of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Glory to the Lord. How good He is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I think of His goodness to us. Here the Apostle Paul in the 7th chapter of Romans, and he all through this 7th chapter, he seems to be having quite a problem, lots of trouble. And he finds himself doing what he wouldn't do, he says. In the 19th verse, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Now, that's a terrible statement, isn't it? Hallelujah. But I know where he's coming from. Now, if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but it's sin that dwelleth in me. And in the 21st verse, he finds something else. "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." I'm in favor of that. Yeah. "But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." And here it is, verse 24. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body, from the body of this death?" Hallelujah. Who's going to do it? Hallelujah. Amen. "Oh, wretched, I concede that I am a wretched man. And I don't see myself getting any better. unless something else happens in my behalf. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus, through Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." And then I wouldn't stop here without reading the first verse of the next chapter. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There it is. That's how it's going to... All right, now, when Paul cries out here in the 24th chapter, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He is reaching back into an old ancient Roman law, which his readers of that day will be quite familiar with. And they had some heinous ways of execution under the old Roman laws, as you well know. One of them was, and the one that Paul alludes to here, was that when a person committed some cold-blooded, heinous act of murder, they would oftentimes sentence him to be strapped, or to have his victim strapped to his back. And though his victim would, as you know, be dead, but they would strap him to the one that committed the crime, the offender, back, and strap him in such a manner that he could not get him off. He could not get loose. And then they would turn him loose with the dead body strapped to his back. And anybody that would try to release him was under penalty of death by the same means. So it was not likely that anybody was going to help him. And it was more unlikely that he could help himself. And so Paul, here, he alludes to that ancient law and says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You could see easily what would happen to a person under those conditions, couldn't you? Immediately the dead body will begin to deteriorate. And the longer you carry it, the more it will deteriorate. And then pretty soon after that, you too will begin to deteriorate. Bacteria just the presence of death on you, and the flesh that is deteriorating and hanging to your flesh. And it caused the offender to come to a most horrible death. So Paul likens himself in this spiritual walk. He likens himself so bogged down in the old man and the nature of the old man, which he says is in the realm of death, that he cries out, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Who will take this death off of my back? Then he found the answer. There is a law of life, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin to condemn sin in the flesh. Now we come to the Son, who is the example of all sons of God. His name is Jesus. He is the firstborn of many brethren. It pleases the Father to bring many sons to glory, just like the first begotten of the Father, who is Jesus Christ. What am I saying? I'm saying that the sons of God will be just like the pattern Son of God. And he overcame death. He got a releasing from that dead body. You see, that dead body clings to us. It is the old Adamic nature. And we cannot, under our own power and by our own means, we can never eradicate him. We will have to have some help from another. Yes. And that help comes from the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You want resurrection life? Sure you do. And I want resurrection life. If I had, we'll talk about resurrection life. But first, what does resurrection life do for us? It gets us out of the realm of death. We're now in the realm of death. Will you concede that we are in the realm of death? All men dies. You don't know anybody walking around that's 200 years old, do you? No, you don't even know anybody's 150. Well, I've got an aunt that's 106. She's headed for longevity. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, but the death, this death that worketh in us is what's doing it. Now, what makes death work in us? Sin. Sin makes death work in us, doesn't it? So, we've got a big job ahead of us, but we're well able. Hallelujah. Amen. Because he's going to make us able. He is making us able. We are. We're practicing a kingdom walk now. If you don't mind my saying so, I tell you that I am practicing a kingdom walk. Hallelujah. I often do things that are beyond my means. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I often do things that I could not do. I do in the natural. I often know things that I could not know. I often know them before anybody knows them. Well, hallelujah. And so what is happening? What am I saying? I am saying that inasmuch as I have been lifted into this realm of resurrection, I know it. I know that there is a place like that. If I operate beyond my means one time, it makes me to know that there is a place like that. Now, why don't I walk there all the time? I'll give you one example. It was some years ago. My wife and I were returning from a trip across country, and we were in a state, not our own state, and night was falling. It was quickly approaching, and we had to, I had driven furiously and a long ways to try to make it home by tomorrow, you know, and I think I'd clocked off about 900 miles that day, and may give or take to you, and I hadn't stopped to let my wife eat. Now, my wife likes to stop and eat, and I like to go, so... I'd passed all kinds of good eating places, you know, and she began to get aggravated at me, and I seen that she, you know, wasn't going to be a sport about this. So I said, all right, I'll tell you what we'll do. The next place that says eat, cafe, restaurant, no matter what it says, if it's toward eating, I'm going to stop. Just the next one we come to, no matter what it, just all I want to see a sign says eat, or food. And so we didn't drive far after I made that statement till I seen one. It was a truck stop, good food. So I pulled in, and I normally, you know, wouldn't have stopped at truck stop back in those days. It was a long time. This has been years back. When I tell you the incident, you'll remember just about how long ago it's been. And I pulled up in front of that restaurant and started to get out of the car. And I said to my wife, though, as I pulled in, I said, this is more than a truck stop. This is a shopping center, along with a truck stop in it. And the Spirit says to me, attach yourself to that gift shop. And I looked down the street and signs, a gift shop. And I said, Lord, what? He said, attach yourself to that gift shop. So I told my wife, I said, you know, I've got the strongest urge to go down there to that gift shop. She said, let's eat. It's okay. So I locked the door, we went in and eat. And, in the meantime, we got talking about something else, and I forgot about that. So we came out, and I started to get in the car. My wife had already got in the car, started around to get in, and the Spirit said, I said, attach yourself to that gift shop. And I said, all right. So I told my wife, I said, I'm going down to the gift shop. Would you like to come along? Of course, she'd like to come along. And... And we We got down to the gift shop, and it was closing time. It was about closing time in the afternoon. There was nobody in there but one. There was one lady in there. And we came in at the back door, like back there, at the business entrance, and she was up here in the furthest corner. And she, and I thought, well, I don't see anybody in here. And, I mean, you know, one gift shop, and you've seen them all. And, but we'll browse. So a boy said to me from up front here, said, can I help you? And I said, oh, we'll just browse if you don't mind. So go ahead. So we were just browsing around, and pretty soon we come down about the middle ways of the shop, and I come out from behind one of those book racks, you know, and I meet her head on that she has come. And she looked at me, and she was startled. And she said, she threw up her hands, stepped back, and said, you're a prophet. And I, that startled me. And she said, and then she began to cry. And she said, I conceded that I was a prophet. And she began to cry. And she said, I have a despair of life, she says. I have prayed all day long. This business has been slow, and I've just been praying. And you know what? I was praying that the Lord would send somebody by to give me some direction. And she said, this is my problem. And I said, hold it right there. Let me get your problem. Hallelujah. Yeah, you know. And because the Lord had already begun to, I already was seeing things. So I took her by the hand, and I said, it has to do with airplanes. Well, that really thrilled her. I mean, she knows I'm on. I'm fixing to come aboard. Hallelujah. It's airplanes. And I said, then I looked. I came into the realm of a seer prophet, and I just seen it. And I looked, and I said, is it somebody is hijacking an airplane? Is it your... And I was going to say it's your husband, and then I looked and seen the resemblance, and I said, no, it's your brother. And, of course, this, you know, I mean, I've never seen her before. She'd never seen me before. We live hundreds of miles apart. And it is her brother. And I said, well, your brother has hijacked this plane, and it's set down in Dallas. Set down in Love Field. That was before they had the new one there. Set down in Love Field, Dallas. And there was some shooting. And some police officer was killed. But her brother didn't kill him, but he was killed in the ruckus. And I said, I told her, I see all of this. And what he had asked for was a ransom. Some of you may remember it. And they had set it out in paper brown bags for him to let the plane land. And I said, all right, this, then I say to you that, all right now your brother is in. And I told her what state he was in where he boarded the plane, which was, I guess, state that claimed him. And that he was in, you know, a lot of trouble. You would be in a lot of trouble, you know. But I said, don't fear, because I tell you what's going to happen to him. In 2 weeks from now, they will send him to this state, and you can visit him. And when you go to visit him, you just walk into his cell or whatever the provision they've made for you to visit him, and don't greet him. Just lay hands on him and say, I deliver you from him. I bring deliverance in the name of Jesus now. I decree freedom for you. In spite of what the laws of the land are, in spite of whatever charges are against you, I decree that you will be set free and all charges will be dismissed in the name of Jesus. And I said, in 6 weeks from that day, they'll release him and drop all charges against him. And he'll be... Well, what had happened was he was a backslidden Pentecostal preacher, and he was her twin brother. And well, by then her troubles are over. You know, she's real happy, and here's old here I am that she has never seen before. Now, I've never seen her before. Never been in this bookstore before. Never been to shopping center before. And so I gave her. She was exuberant when I left. Naturally. And I gave her my card, you know. And I have in my file now a letter that I received about 2 months later. I went to the post office and got my mail and I brought it and poured it out on my desk, was opening it, and I came to this letter and said, "Dear Brother Harris, you will remember me from the gift shop. And I just wanted to write and tell you that on a certain day," she had the date there, "in a certain month, a certain year, there was a prophet that came through the doors of this bookshop, stood in the center of the room and spoke the word of God to me. And as you spoke, so has it happened. Don't ask me how. I just accept the goodness of God on it." Now, if I did that one time, I can't do that. I can't do that. You can't either. I know I can't do that. I mean, I'm not. I'm not that foolish. I just cannot do that. So I cannot do it, and yet I did it. So it was the Lord that did it through me. But what He did was that He lifted me out of the death realm into a resurrection realm, and let me stay there for a few minutes. And you know, ever since that time, and every time I tell it, see how it takes curl out of my hair? Every time I think about it, I feel myself being resurrected a little. Hallelujah. I know there is a place like that, and if I could make my ways to please Him exactly, He'd just let me take up residence there. Would you like to take up residence there? You know, and even then He reveals to me that though I could take up residence there, it would be a short-lived residence because this is not the totality of His plan for me. There is another realm so much loftier than that, as that one is this, that He would be letting me explore. Oh, hallelujah. And for eons upon eons, I think we'll still be being resurrected.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Releasing us from the memory of the death realm. Not only from the death realm, but from the memory of the death realm. Now, we are in the death realm, and I'm going to get into something here. We're in the death realm, and that's why your hair has turned gray. That's why that your steps are shortening. Yeah. And wrinkles. And you had to visit the eye doctor. You might have gone for 40 years without taking any medication. As a matter of fact, I think I was 55 years old before I ever took an aspirin. Amen. And the only medication that I had ever taken was when I was in the war and wounded 3 times World War II. And they really plastered me the last time. And I took a lot of medication, but as soon as I got out of that, I never took any more until I was, like I say, at least 55 years old. And one of them little bitty boxes, they still come in a little box of aspirin. One of them hold all aspirins I've ever took combined to this day. But I am getting, I mean, you can tell, you can look at me and tell about how old I am, can't you? I can look at you and tell about how old you are. But the reason is that I know about what this death realm does to you in 10 years, in 40 years, in 50 years, in 60 years. But, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this? Well, there's one that's going to do it. Now, let's talk about Jesus then. Jesus did it. Let's read in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 22 to 24, "You men of Israel," I'm in verse 22, second chapter of Acts, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." Now, what did Him being delivered, verse 23, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Thank God forever.
Hallelujah.
Oh, what a beautiful statement. That thrills me all over. It was not possible that he should be holden of death. The death realm could not hold him. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. Well, we read verse 3. Concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. That's good, isn't it? All right, now. Now, we read to you that it was Jesus was put to death by the predetermined counsel that put him to death, but it was not possible that he should be holden of death. Death could not hold him. And now we find that he was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, and this declaration comes by the resurrection from the dead. That he has been resurrected from the dead. Now I come to the essence of the message. Let's look at Jesus. Why was it not possible that he should be holden of death? Now I give you five reasons why death could not hold Jesus. And for the same reasons, it will not be able to hold us. I tell you, If you can make your ways to please the Lord, He'll make even your enemies at peace with you. Oh, yes. He prepares the table before me in the presence of mine enemy. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All right? Number one, the first reason that death could not hold him is because the bosom of the Father could not hold him. You listen. Hear me by the Spirit this morning. The bosom of the Father could not hold him. Hallelujah. Amen. He was such a man of destiny. Such a big plan of the almighty plan of God that the bosom of the Father could not hold him. In Proverbs chapter 8, we read. In Proverbs chapter 8, we read from about verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, always rejoicing always before him.
Hallelujah.
Rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Oh, blessed be God forever. Hallelujah. I said the first reason that it was not possible for him to be holden of death is because the bosom of the Father could not hold him. Now here he was. This is his description. He was with the Father before there was any matter and anything was brought forth. He was daily the delight of his Father. Did you ever see a father sit and just watch his young son play? Did you ever see a father sit on the bleachers and watch his young son play Little League? Before ever anything, any matter was brought forth, I was daily his delight. I was in the bosom of the Father. The Father would release me from his bosom and he would watch me go about my delights. My delights was ever with the sons of men. I was fascinated by the sons of men. Though there were no sons of men at that time, but he had a fascination for them anyhow. And the Father delighted in this. Hallelujah. Well, I said the reason that death couldn't hold him was because the bosom of the Father could not hold him. The bosom of the Father. He had a mission. So let's turn over then to the New Testament in St. John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. Hallelujah. Well, let's look down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, the Son, had come into the earth and had taken on the form of flesh. He had become alike the sons of men in whom he delighted. The bosom of the Father could not hold him because now creation had been established. Humanity was in the earth. And humanity had failed, and there was no, they had alienated themselves from God, and there was no way back. But Jesus could have remained in the bosom of the Father, and there would have been no way for them to come back. But let's turn over to the 10th chapter of St. John now, and read the 17th verse. And we're getting, we'll have to read the 16th verse with it. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, here it is, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. And no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now I contend that in the realms of heaven, in the triune Godhead, that there was a conversation that took place. It is not recorded, but you will allow me to venture a little here, I guess. Here was lost humanity with no way to be redeemed. And Jesus, the Son of the Father, volunteered to become the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world to fulfill that projection that God the Father had made. Now, when he speaks of laying down his life, I do not believe that he is speaking of Calvary here, although Calvary is certainly included. But he is speaking of 33 and a half years. Because what he is about to do, he says, I lay down my life, and if I lay it down, I have the power to take it up again. Nowhere in the Scripture is Jesus accredited with raising himself up from the dead. He was crucified on Calvary. But everywhere when the Bible speaks of it, says that God raised up Jesus from the dead. But Jesus said, I have the power to lay down my life and to take it up again. Are these statements conflicting? Not at all. Jesus was talking about the life that he had with the Father. And he said, now I will shed my priestly, kingly robes. of eternal life. And I will identify with humanity. I will inject into eternity 3.5 years. I'm not sure that he knew it would be 3.5 years, but 33.5 years. He said, I will inject into eternity a space of time. I will lay down my life, my eternal life, here. I will descend into the earth, take on the form of man. I will identify with him in everything. I will identify with man. And I will appease the demands of the Father. And they consequently will put me to death. And then after this has happened, the Father will raise me from the dead. I will ascend back to the throne. And when I get back, I will take up my life that I laid down voluntarily. That's the reason that death could not hold him, is because the bosom of the Father could not hold him. His priority was salvation for man, salvation for humanity. I hope that I hope you understand this. I pray, Heavenly Father, give us a spirit of understanding now. Hallelujah. And all that I say that is profitable to the kingdom, drive it forcibly into our spirit. Yes. Let deep call to deep. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So he left the realm of eternal life and injected himself into the death realm. I tell you, he began to die from the time that he cried out in Bethlehem. He was in the death realm. And the only way out of the death realm, amen, is to fulfill the death realm. He would be put to death and then raised back to life, you see. And then he could take up the life that he laid down. He would be doing what he said that he would do. But he did not, as he lay in that tomb, powerless. All the blood drained from his body. Psalmist 22 said every bone was out of joint. And the water, he was completely dehydrated. But along during the night, an angelic host hovered over him, began to pump energetic life into that physical body. And he raised up and stepped outside the tomb and told Martha, was it Mary, wasn't it? Mary, don't touch me. I have not yet been glorified. But later, he invited them to come and feel. He had later been glorified. He had returned from the realm of death to the realm of life. It was not possible that he should be holden of death, because it was not possible that he could be holden by the Father's bosom. When you love lost humanity, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, brethren, said the Apostle Paul, how that though he were rich, yet he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. He became what we was, that we might become what he is. Hallelujah. And in order for this to ever transpire, he would have to dip into the death realm himself and overcome death in the face of death and overcome all things that belong to the death realm and be an overcomer. And then he could fulfill the realm of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And we could be reconciled to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, when you love, when you move out of the realm of self-priority, you know, your own priorities, your desires being your top priority, you're getting close to the kingdom. The further away from self-priorities you can move, the closer you're getting to the resurrection realm that'll lift you out of this realm of death into a realm of life. Hallelujah. We must not be selfish. We must, the Bible says to honor your brother above yourself. I think of our blessed Lord as he walked the earth there and with his 12 disciples, and the Bible said that he knew from the beginning which one of them would betray him. But on that memorial night when he made the announcement that one of you will betray me, nobody suspected Judas. How is that? They each began with one accord saying, "Lord, is it me? Is it I?" The commendable thing is that while Jesus knew that Judas would betray him, yet they walked over three years together, and never one time. Now, these disciples were not morons, I'll tell you that. They were brilliant men. They may have been uneducated, but they were brilliant men. And they had never noticed Jesus making any difference. Never seen him throwing off on Judas, not one time. Never did they see him make a difference between his treatment of Judas and any of the rest of them, that when that moment come, somebody could say, "I bet it's old Judas."
You know? Yeah, Lord. All right. We said then that that the reason death could not hold him was that the bosom of the Father could not hold him. That's step number one. Number two, his mother could not hold him. Now you'll really have to hear me by the Spirit. Hallelujah. His mother could not hold him. In St. Luke chapter 2, and you will remember this setting well. Now, I ask you to hear me by the Spirit, because I'm not talking about, I'm talking spiritual things now, and you, I beg you to hear me by the Spirit. His mother could not hold him in St. Luke chapter 2, verse 48 and 49. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it that you sought me? Wished you not that I must be about my father's business?" Now, we said that his mother could not hold him. His mother would have been glad to just take him back to Nazareth and just keep him by her forever. Actually, I suppose she would have been tickled to just kindly dominate him forever, you know, maybe. But his mother could not hold him, but mother speaks of the church is type the woman and type of the mother. And so we move into the spirit realm here. And when he heard the Father speak, he moved according to the speaking of the Father. And it didn't make any difference. I mean, you know, I came out of, hallelujah, I come along this lane. I came out of the apron strings of the mother church that I was, you know, birthed in. They wouldn't go on with God. Now, they would have been happy to have just kept me right there. As a matter of fact, they would have been thrilled to do it. Yeah. And just to kept me right there under that mother church. You know the mother spirit, she doesn't want to release the son. She doesn't want her boy to grow up. Hallelujah. And that's a natural spirit, isn't it? But if you move that over into the spirit realm, like I say, you're looking at a come out of the come out of the come outers. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been coming out. Hallelujah. And I tell you, I'm not too good to do it again either. Hallelujah. Anytime that we get too denominationalized and begin to draw boundaries that God can't go beyond, God will just show us that he can go beyond them. And when he does, I'm going to go with him. Hallelujah. Amen. When he kicks a couple of the top rails off, hallelujah, amen, leaving, I'm going to go over the fence too. Because I read of 144,000 that comes to Zion that just that way. They are they that were not defiled by women. They followed the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, I could, my goodness, I really don't like to say this because it makes it sound like that I think I give up something for the Lord. I really didn't give up anything but just a hard life and a sinful one. But I did belong to an outfit in East Texas. And as a matter of fact, I was president of a move in East Texas years ago. And we had, I don't remember now, a great number of churches and ministry and great following. And but it was old, what I call now old order. And it was, and they didn't want to go on with God. Now, I was kind of the fair-haired boy of that deal. And they loved me. And I loved them. And they would have been happy just to have kept me around. And I would have now been with them over 25 years since I resigned from the presidency of that move and to follow God. Now, I didn't have any other reason to leave. I had a lot of reasons to stay. I tell you, I had a lot of reasons to stay with that outfit. And if I talked to them, they could tell me a lot more reasons to stay. And I only had, and when they tell me 15 reasons why I should stay, I only could answer that I had only one reason to go. Hallelujah. I feel that the Lord is bringing me into something. I feel that the Lord's moving beyond this realm, and I must go with God. This was my only defense. And I didn't know anybody to bolster that either, I'll tell you. Nobody that I knew nothing about sonship, knew nothing about this kingdom message. God gave it to me by revelation. Hallelujah. By revelation from meditation and dedication to Him. God just sovereignly moved in my spirit and gave it to me by revelation. He gave me access to the book by the revelation of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. And there was no one to... I couldn't share these great truths. It was some time before I met anybody that I could begin to share these truths with. And then I met one lady preacher that had the revelation. She was moving, and she was up in Oklahoma. And then I met, I think the next one I met was G.C. McCurry. He's Athens, Georgia, but he's from Carolinas. And then all at once the Lord just began to open up to us. And we began to go far and wide and spread the sonship message, the gospel of the kingdom, God. There's more up at Zion, but it costs you something. It costs you something to do it. You know it. Now when those people see me, they don't have anything really against me other than they think that I'm kind of out on a limb somewhere. Hallelujah, amen. I am on a limb, but it's a stem out of the rod of. Out of the root of Jesse. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't think it'll break off. Hallelujah. The mother realm. Then I said the next thing is that his mother could not hold him. You remember when Joshua comes down, God comes down off the Mount Ebo, Nebo, and says to Joshua, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, rise and go over this Jordan, you and the people. Now, why did God do that? Well, God wanted them to move on across the Jordan. See, Moses had often disappeared for 40 days at a time. If God don't tell them he's dead, they'll just think he's up talking to God. He'll be back in 40 days or so, you know. And I tell you another thing about Joshua. He would have been glad to have duplicated the ministry of Moses. But God said, no, it's a new day. A new date. It's a new order. It's a new order. New day, he says. And, so we said then that the bosom of his father couldn't hold him, and his mother could not hold him. You know, if you want to deal with this some in the realm of the natural, there's a lot to it, even there, that the spirit of the mother, family sometimes keeps us from serving God. Keeps us from going on with God. Family can be a great hindrance. We get this in the mother realm. See, if you get religious and you hadn't been religious, you've been going to see Mama on Sunday, and now you're going to church on Sunday, Mama gets jealous.
And she declares, you don't love me anymore. And all of them revivals, I just don't believe it takes that much. Oh, no, no, that's Mother Realm. But the Mother Realm couldn't hold him. He had to get released from this realm of death because he already knew what resurrection life was. He had always been in resurrection life. He only injected this space of time into his eternal life. Then he returned from the death realm. But he'd have to be obedient in this death realm. All right, number three, his disciples and friends couldn't hold him. In the 16th chapter of St. Matthew, 16th chapter of St. Matthew here, in verse 20, and then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go up unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. His disciples couldn't hold him. Hallelujah. Amen. His friends could not hold him. But he turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense unto me. You savor not the things of God, but those that be of men. Then Jesus said, if any man wants to follow me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. That's the way out of the realm of death. All right, so the disciples could not hold him. Peter, it hurt Peter tremendously. Now this guy, the Apostle Peter's a great man, and he loves the Lord very much. He doesn't mean to be hindering any progress of the Lord. He just doesn't want the Lord to... the Lord's talking about great things that it's going to be bad. He's going to be killed and raised again the third day. But he's going to suffer a lot of things before he's killed. And Peter begins to rebuke him, and he says, you can't do that, Lord. What are we going to do? Hallelujah. Well, I go a way to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I goest, thou knowest, and the way thou knowest. But Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. I'm going to prepare you a place to come to the Father.
Hallelujah.
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 Yes, Peter said, be it far from you, Lord. I will not allow you to go up to Jerusalem and be persecuted by those henchmen. No, sir. I will not allow you to be killed. No. I can see where the Apostle Peter was coming from here, can't you? I am in sympathy with him. But Jesus could not be too much in sympathy with him because he cannot afford to be deterred from his mission, from the plan of God. Neither can you. If there's one thing that the move of God needs to do now, it is to find our setting in God, to know the placing and timing of God for our lives, and to approve our ministry. That's another message, but to approve ministry. Too many people now just, are running without any real destination, any real aim, any real commission. We must come to divine order. We must submit to ministry. We must submit to each other. We must learn submission in a way that we have. The church has never known it. I tell you of a truth that we will not walk into life until we have learned submission, until we have learned the ways of the Lord. Until we have learned how he walks, and then we walk as he walks. The disciples couldn't hold him. In the 11th chapter of St. John, Lazarus is sick. And Martha and Mary sends for Jesus and says, come immediately back to Bethany, for Jesus had left Bethany and was going further, and he says, come immediately back, for he whom you love is sick. Lazarus needs you to come back and heal him. I'll tell you, but Jesus continued on his journey for 4 days, didn't he? And then he spoke to the disciples one morning when they was about to move out and said, let's go back to Bethany. Lazarus is asleep. Well, they said, if he sleeps, that means he's well. The fever's broken and he's all right. No, he said, he's dead. Hallelujah. And he went back to raise him from the dead. He went back and they met him and they was exuberant at his appearing. Martha said, if you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, he'll live again. She said, I know that in the last days there will be a general resurrection and my brother will rise again. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Oh, believest thou this? Martha said, yeah, Lord, I believe. I'll tell you, the Apostle Paul believed it too. Hallelujah. Apostle Peter believed it. All the apostles believed it. I'll tell you, Jack Harris believes it too. Hallelujah. I believe that in him is life. Amen. And that life is a light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I'll tell you. He comes back and raises Lazarus from the dead, and everybody is astonished because he's been dead for 4 days. But everybody knows it because Bethany is just a small town, and everybody knows everybody, and everybody knows this man's been dead for 4 days. Now, he has raised him to life. Everybody knew he'd been dead 4 days, but Lazarus. Lazarus didn't know it. Because, you see, when he went to sleep, Martha told him, now, brother, you go to sleep and rest. I've sent for Jesus. And you take a nap, and time you wake up, Jesus will be back here, and he'll heal you. So Lazarus, he went to sleep, and when he woke up, Jesus had come back and healed him. He thought it was about dinner time. Hallelujah. He didn't know nothing about that 4 days that had gone by. You see, I think that's the way it would be with us if we go by the way of the grave. Hallelujah. It'll just be as if we went to sleep. And then on that, I, brethren, would not have you to be ignorant concerning them that are fallen asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And there shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. Hallelujah. I don't expound that in the old orthodox way. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe this to be the manifestation. I believe it to be the first resurrection in conjunction with the manifestation of the sons of God. And the dead in Christ are the only ones that have risen in this resurrection. Not the dead saved, the dead in Christ. Not those that have Christ in you, the hope of glory, but those who had that hope and let that hope develop into the glory, and you became in Christed. It is in Christed that rises first. The rest of the dead rise not again for 1,000 years. Maybe I'll teach some on that if I get to it. Just show it to you right in the scriptures there. All right? So we said then that the bosom of the Father can't hold him. No, it can't hold him. Death, it was not possible that he should be holden of death. Now, when we get to where these things won't hold us, we're breaking out of this realm of death, and we're coming into life. Life. You do know that first it is the natural and then the spiritual, the book says. Well, you do know that natural lifespan has been increased tremendously in the last few years. The person born now could have a life expectancy of about, 10 years more than people that was born in my generation. That's in the natural. Well, you can be sure that if it's happening in the natural, it's happening more abundantly in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. I'll tell you there, I believe, if I tell you what I believe that there are 144,000 people in the earth right now that's already here and that will walk into life and set off a chain reaction of resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen, that we might find eternal life. And I hope to be one of the 144,000. Hallelujah. I believe I told you last night I'm a candidate. That's my candidacy. I'm hoping to walk into life without going by the way of the grave. There's 144,000 will do it. I might be one of them. You might be one of them. Hallelujah. They'll come from all ranks of life, from every profession, every vocation they'll come. But they'll have one common denominator, that their life was entirely dedicated to the Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They followed always the Lamb wherever it took him. Hallelujah. The Pharisees could not hold him, number four. You know, the Pharisees tried to hold him in the traditional bonds of the Pharisaic religion, and he just wouldn't adhere to it. They couldn't do nothing with him, could they? He just didn't. They tried to hold him. The Pharisees couldn't hold him. The law couldn't hold him. Tradition of the Pharisees couldn't hold him. The religious Babylon, no, none of these things could hold him. They all belonged to the Pharisaic religious cult, and none of them could hold him. Isn't it amazing that as long as Jesus was just a projection in the book, the Pharisees embraced him with exuberance, didn't they? Yeah, a lot of people do that now. As long as it's just a projection, you don't have to deal with it right now. That's where the big tear is right there. As long as it's just a projection here, you don't have to deal with that right now. So let's eat dinner first. You see? But when that projection becomes personified and Jesus steps right out of the book and stands there as big as life itself, which he is the source of, and he says, no, let's deal with it now. Tell him the whole lunch. They're going to deal with it now. Yeah, it was hard to deal with when it became life, but as long as it's just a projection. You see, many people embrace the message of the kingdom. They don't have to deal with it right now. But one day, face to face, they'll have to make a decision, have to deal with it. Oh, yes. Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before them as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, that when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. But surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow, and we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray and turned every one to his own way. The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, but he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living, and for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because in him was no violence, neither with deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When he hath made his soul an offering for sin, he shall seal the seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall seal the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. I will divide unto him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. 27 identifying marks. The golden-voiced prophet Isaiah places upon the Lord Jesus 800 years before the baby cried in Bethlehem. The Pharisees didn't have any trouble with that. That didn't trouble them. As a matter of fact, they took great pride in that, didn't they? Hallelujah. Ah, yes, they took great pride in that 27 identifying marks of projection to mark our blessed Lord. Paul said, from henceforth and from now on, let nobody bother me. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But this didn't bother the Pharisees, but one day Isaiah's prophecy stepped out of the book. Hallelujah. Amen. Ah, and he said, well, what a nice religious order you guys got here. What do you have to do to join this? Hallelujah. Boy, y'all are to be commended for your holiness and to see all these things I can find to commend you for. No, he didn't, did he? He said, you hypocrite. Oh. They tried to find a way to condense him back to the 53rd chapter. Hallelujah. And just let him be a letter across a black letter on a white page. He doesn't bother us so much that way. Hallelujah. Amen. But when he gets out, when he steps out of here, he starts meddling in our business. He will, won't he? Hallelujah. The Pharisees couldn't hold him. No, he wouldn't be conformed to their traditions. Hallelujah. He said, they said, well, what's the matter? Don't you breaking with tradition? He said, you are making the word of God of none effect by your traditions. I'm against your traditions because they make the word of God ineffective. You're teaching men traditions. And I'm bringing life. That's the difference. Would you be delivered from this body of death? Hallelujah. Would you like to find that friend that will cut that dead corpse loose from you? Hallelujah. And deliver you from this body of death? Well, that friend is Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God forever. He wants to liberate us. Hallelujah. Amen. He wants to give us a full pardon. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, blessed be God forever. But the religious system wants to keep us bound to the realm of death. Hallelujah. They don't want to, well, they like their statistics. They like to be the biggest, hallelujah, the biggest denomination. Have the most missionaries. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus said, well, you're just making them about three or four fold worse than yourself. And you won't go in the door, and you're standing in the way and won't let them in. Didn't he tell them? Boy, I mean, he just told it. He told it like it was, didn't he? Because, hey, after all, I mean, would you rather somebody just go along with your state of deception and pet you through an error of deception and then you stay in the death realm forever? Would you rather somebody would renounce the death realm and bring you into resurrection life? Amen. Oh, praise God forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, how art they increased that trouble me? Many there be that rise up against me. Many there be that say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. But thou, Lord, art my shield and my glory, and you are the lifter up of mine head. Yes. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept, and I waked, for the Lord sustained me. I won't be afraid now if 10,000 people gather themselves together against me. Rise up, O Lord, and save me, my God. Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth to thee, and thy blessings are upon all of your people. Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, we are counted as sheep all the day long. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. So let the heathen rage. Hallelujah. And we'll go to Zion.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He'll be trying to figure how to break our bands and cast our cords asunder. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're causing him all kinds of problems, and he doesn't even, we're not even aware of it. You know why all the confusion? Because of the ministry of the sons of God. You know why that a statesman can't make good decisions? Hallelujah. It's because of the ministry of the sons of God. They don't know it. Hallelujah. And most of the sons don't know it. But I'll tell you, this ministry is bringing confusion among the Pharisees. Let me give you the last order. My time is running down. All right. His own will couldn't hold him. That's number five and last. His own will could not hold him. Now, when you get, see, this is a progressive thing here. His own will. You remember death couldn't hold him because he was an overcomer.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. In all things, he was an overcomer. Death could not hold him. You remember in Luke chapter 22 and verse 42, he cries out in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Is there another way? No. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." Hallelujah. Now, is there another way? There was not another way. Jesus said, you know what was happening to him? Everything that was human in him, everything that belonged to the death realm, the devil didn't have anything in him, but he still belonged. He was still in the death realm for our sakes. And everything about him that belonged to the death realm was rebelling against the cross. But everything in him that belonged to the resurrection realm was drawing him to the cross. Hallelujah. And so he said, "Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done." Now, if we can bring our lives to coordinate with his, the death realm can hold us no longer. We will find resurrection life even while we live. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the lovely Lord Jesus for his wonderful goodness toward us. Aren't you glad for him this day? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give him a praise offering. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the wonderful name of Jesus. Praise the wonderful name of Jesus. Thank you, great God, now. Oh, for your wonderful goodness toward us all. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, blessed be God. Praise the Lord. Father, I invoke the choicest blessings from heaven for this people this morning that have sat under the sound of our voice. I seal every word that will be profitable in our pursuit of the kingdom of God. And if, Father, I have said anything that is contrary to the kingdom, anything that is just a jest of folly and will not be profitable, just let us to forget it before we leave the tabernacle. But for all that will be profitable in our journey toward Zion, I pray that you'd seal it very deeply into our spirits. And may it find life there. And may it find a motivating source that will motivate our lives to seek for immortality, to seek life, Heavenly Father. I invoke the choicest blessings from heaven on this campground, Lord. Known Brother Glenn, Irma, and the staff here, Lord, I invoke choice blessings. not only during the time of this meeting, but the days beyond and beyond that. And all of the blessings I invoke this day, you may carry home with you. They're yours to keep. For freely I have received, freely I give. This is a high and lofty principle of sonship, saith the Lord. Yea, be of good cheer, my people, for I, the Lord thou God, am he that called ye. Yea, this is my doings and not yours, saith the Lord. Yea, I've only called you into my self and into a work that I have programmed, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, keep your minds on me and keep your eyes on him who is the author and finisher. You shall surely finish well if you will remember these few simple principles, saith the Lord. Yea, if I shall not bring thee to a dry and desert place and leave thee to and famish and to perish. Nay, but I shall lead thee to victory, victory after victory. Thou shalt be declared an overcomer. Yea, and I'll make you pillars in the temple of my God, and you shall go no more out. Yea, for you shall indeed be overcomers, for the Lord thou God shall give thee strength. Yea, he shall give thee knowledge. He shall give thee, all that you will, there will be no need lacking if you will use the energy that the Lord provides to propel you to Zion, saith the Lord. For now thou shalt find life, and the closer you get to Zion and to that great resurrection, the more resurrection life you will have, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, Brother Lynn. Thank the Lord. Oh, what a mighty God he is. Hallelujah.
How many of you know the chorus, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one"? Put your hands up. We ought to try this. Go ahead.
For this purpose was the Son of God manifest.
For this purpose was the Son of God manifest. To destroy the works of the evil one. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest. To destroy the works of the evil one. To destroy the works of the evil one. No principalities or powers shall stand before our Lord. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. In it, where this purpose was the Son of God manifest. To destroy the works of the evil one. We've got to try that again. We'll put it down key of D. The words are this: for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one. Now, half of you are going to sing one part with me, half of you are going to sing one part with Bill. No principalities or powers can stand before our Lord. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Is that the way it goes? For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one. To destroy the works of the evil one. No principalities or powers can stand before our Lord. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest. To destroy the works of the evil one. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest. To destroy the works of try that again another time. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift Him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw men unto me. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift Him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw men unto me. Let's lift Him higher. Let's lift Him higher. Lift Him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw men unto me. Let's lift Him higher. Let's lift Him higher. Lift Him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw men unto me. Let's lift Him higher. Let's lift Him higher. Lift Him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw men unto me.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You for the living Word that's come forth this morning. We praise You for it, Lord, that it's health and strength to us. Now, Father, we thank You for the physical food, that it will be strength and health to our physical body, bless it to our bodies, and then we to Thy service in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.